I want to share something with you. Those of you who were in Sunday school, we talked about the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the Holy Spirit being sovereign God. God the Holy Spirit. We usually identify the Trinity as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But I wonder if sometimes we don't realize what we're saying. The Holy Spirit is God. And in Acts chapter 5, two people lied to God the Holy Spirit. Do you remember who they were? Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to who? God the Holy Spirit. They lied to God. The song that we sang at the first was called Be Thou Exalted. And in that song, we sought to give credence to our worshiping the Holy Spirit. Be thou exalted, O Spirit of power. That is the Hebrew definition for spirit in the Old Testament. He is the Spirit of power, of might, of strength, and of characterization, violent power, strength, and might. Force, if you would, dwelling within our hearts to keep us from sin. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us from sin. God of the ages and Lord of salvation, ruler of heaven and earth, thy praises we sing. Not only are we worshiping the Father, we are worshiping the Son, we are worshiping the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, the triunity of God. And not only does the Holy Spirit indwell you, but so does the Father, the Son. They each have different role responsibilities. The Father loves you. The Son graces you with his grace. And the Holy Spirit animates it all. He brings it all to life because he is the Spirit of life. What a great God we have. Amen? What a great God we have. And the song that I want to sing for you this morning comes from Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. But you will find elements of that song in Peter, because he basically says the same thing. You must go through the fire in order to be purified. Testing comes from above. So the next time that you go through a trial, or you go through adversities, which are a number of trials put together, know that you're being tested from above. It's one thing to have one flat tire when you're on the road. That's a trial. But to have three other flat tires along with the one trial, that's adversity. That's four trials put together. That's called God wants your attention. Testing comes from above. And Peter says that in the end, we will come forth as gold because we've been refined by the fire. Isn't that wonderful? We have a great God. Amen? Amen? And amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is a chapter that has 43 verses in it. And I'm not going to read all the verses for you this morning from 1 Chronicles 16 because I want to center my attention on verses 8 and following because there's something I want to share with you about God that is so unique. Remember now, I preached on 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 through 13. And what I said in that message was that David blessed the Lord in his congregation. And as he blessed the Lord, he blessed the Lord by simply saying, God, I bless you for your greatness, for your power, for your glory, for your victory, and for your majesty. And I put them on five fingers. And I've been praying that prayer every day. I thank you, Lord, my God, sovereign God, if you will. And I add all kinds of adjectives that I learned from the pages of Holy Writ to describe my God. But I remember five that I read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 11, and 12. And that is your greatness, your power, your glory, your victory, your majesty. And to know that you own all things, and all things belong to you. You reigneth over all. For thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are the one that are the head over all. And I love the next verse because it reminds me of my salary. Riches and honor come from thee. So I look at my salary as a custodian and I say, yep, riches and honor come from thee. And I've always said this as a pastor through my 33 years of ministry. My salary comes from the Lord. Riches and honor come from thee. He may use God's people as a means, but my riches come from him, as does my honor. As lead custodian at George Washington University of Elementary Students, my honor as a custodian. And then he says something that is really excellent. He says he not only rules over all, but the strength that you and I, David and his congregation, experience comes from his hand. He's the one that gives us the strength that we experience each and every day. He never lacks. And you know who of the Godhead energizes you? It is the Spirit of power who energizes you every day as the Father gives you strength. The Holy Spirit is a very, very important Godhead person and should never be minimized in our worship, in our daily experience, in our walk. He can take the weaknesses of your life and turn them into strength because he is the Spirit of power. I wonder sometimes if we minimize the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. I wanted to say so much in Sunday school, but ran out of time. And I better say something about the message this morning or I'll run out of time. In 1 Chronicles 16, what was your scripture reading today, by the way? Do you remember? Psalm what? 96. Do you realize? No, you don't realize because I'm going to tell you now. Psalm 96 is in 1 Chronicles 16. When David wrote 1 Chronicles 16, he put it in Psalmic form. And you can read a lot of what's in 1 Chronicles 16 in Psalm 96. So that's why I said now I don't have to read the whole psalm because you got a gist of 1 Chronicles 16 as you read Psalm 96.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me how great our God is. I wonder what book came first, the Psalms or Chronicles? Doesn't matter, because you will find God's word in both. And usually if God says something more than once, he really wants you to remember it, doesn't he? Of course, if he says it once, I think I better remember it anyways. Because whatever God says is important, especially when it comes from his word. Amen? In 1 Chronicles 16, I trust that you took your time to turn there. 1 Chronicles 16, what I want you to know and understand in 1 Chronicles 16 is that a major event took place. According to verse 1, I'm going to turn there myself, so I'm in 16. And that major event was a long time missing from the people of God called the Ark. You've heard of the Ark of Covenant, right? And they, verse 1 says, brought in the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. What was so important about the Ark? Well, just in a short definition form, the Ark basically exemplified the presence of the Lord with God's people. And the Jewish people were without that ark for a period of time. And the Jewish people are a people of signs. In other words, they would be a people that would have to say, I have to see it to believe it. Now, you can't do that because you're not Jewish. Are anybody here Jewish? Oh, whew. Okay. You can't say that because you're not Jewish. But Jews rely on signs to motivate them to know that there is a God and that God is for real. And over and over and over again, God gave signs in the Old Testament to the Jewish people in order for them to remember God. The Ark is one of those things, sacred furniture, whatever you want to call it, one of those things that God gave to the people of Israel to remember him. And in setting up that ark, David was just so excited. Oh, this is great. We have the ark back in our midst. We have that piece of furniture that is just beyond words to help us remember that God is who he says he is. God does what he says, and God will continue to do what he says, for God is God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And as he did that, it says in verse 3, and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. You know, that recipe almost reminds me of the 5 loaves and the 5 fishes. It's not always the big things that cause us to glorify God. It can be the little things too. He gave them a meal. And each of these has a representation, which I'll not take the time to do this morning, but just that this is God's gift to these people. And then verse 4 says, then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief. And second to him, and here are some names, I hope I say them well, Zechariah, Jael, Shemael, Moth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obadiah, Obadiah and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals. And what's that name? Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first appointed the thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. Here comes David's psalm. This is what they were supposed to praise God with. Beginning with verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's one. Call upon his name. That's two. Make known his deeds among the peoples. That's three. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. That's four. Tell of all his wondrous works. That's five. Glory in his holy name. That's six. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. That's seven. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. That's eight. And last, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgment he uttered. That's nine. Nine ways for you and I to remember from David and the Old Testament as to how to praise the Lord. Nine different ways. Now, worship. Do you remember what I said about worship in that first message? Worship comes from the Latin term worth ship, W-O-R-T-H dash ship, S-A-I-P. You remember that? Worth is that which you value. Ship is that which carries. So when you worship God, you carry the value of who he is in your life. When you come here to worship, you are carrying into this building the value of who God is. When you walk out these doors, you are carrying with you, as you worship, as you continue to worship him, the value of who he is. I think sometimes we forget that. When we go to our workplace, when we go to see our families, when we go to activities or events or whatever it is, even shopping. As we worship, worth-ship, we are carrying with us the value of who our God is. I remember walking into, I think it was Washington Elementary. Was it Washington Elementary? Or it could have been Fulton Elementary. Anyways, I was walking into one of those schools, and a person came up to me and said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" Oh, no, that was East. Now I remember. It was Julie. That's right. Julie says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah. Why?" You know, when somebody says you're a Christian, you begin to wonder suspiciously, what are they going to say? And I said, "Yeah. Why?" She says, "You can tell." I said, "What is it that you can tell?" "You're a pastor too, aren't you?" "How can you tell that I'm a pastor?" "It's the way that you present yourself. I see God in you." I thought, whoa. I preached that for 33 years, but I never had it come back to me like that. Worship is where you carry the value of who God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with you as you go your way. That's worship. Praise. David blessed the Lord, and he told the people, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among his people, sing to him, sing praises to him. Praise. Praise is simply a warm admiration expressed just like a eulogy does at a funeral service. A eulogy usually expresses warm admiration to the person who has passed away. Praise is the same thing. You are simply with warmth in your heart. Oh, I love my God. Don't you love God? Do you love God? When you love God, you have a warmth in your heart that you just cannot even begin to explain. It can be the coldest day on the face of the earth, and you can be warm inside because you know God loves you. It's a warm admiration expressed through your mouth. And David said, sing to him, sing praises, warm admirations that express the value of who he is in your life. Psalm. Psalm. You know what a psalm is? A psalm is a sacred song or a hymn. A song basically is vertical in its intent, and a hymn is basically horizontal in its intent. A psalm is, I sing to you. A hymn is basically, we sing to you. It's horizontal, vertical, horizontal. But they each carry the value of who God is in their words. God never moves without purpose. You know, when I stop and think about that, that is so true. He does not move without purpose. Everything God does in my life, in your life, in believers' lives, even in unsaved people's lives, it is always with a purpose. And what is the purpose? To bring honor and glory to himself. Psalms. So when you read the Psalms, you are simply reading that which is a song or a hymn that is directed to God or directed to God's people to direct to God. Everything goes back to God. And then, last but not least, glory. It says in verse 10, glory in his holy name. Glory is simply a worshipful praise. Okay, a worshipful, warm admiration expressed through my mouth. A worshipful, worshipful, okay. I value God, I carry it with me, and I express it in a warm admiration kind of a way. Or it can be an expression of honor. We are to honor our Lord. We are to honor God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in David's psalm, he does these things. He causes the people to worship. He causes the people to praise their God. He calls the people to sing or to voice from their mouths psalms. And he seeks to tell the people to glory in his holy name. Thus to seek the Lord and his strength. Verse 11. To seek his presence continually. God is always there. Amen? And you know how I know God is always there? Who indwells you? Who indwells you? Holy Spirit, right? But the Father indwells you too. And so does the Son indwells you. And so does the Holy Spirit indwell you. And how long are they there for? How long? Forever. So God's presence is always with you. And yet, we are taught in the Old Testament to seek the Lord and his strength. We should be seeking the Lord all the time. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. Oh, I'll tell you what. We have a great God. Amen? But what I wanted you to remember from this morning is the 9 different ways that we have the opportunity to praise our God. The 9 different ways are spelled out in verses 8 through 13, or actually verses 8 through 12. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. You know,
How many times do we forget that everything comes from the hand of God? Everything comes from the hand of God. Riches and honor comes from thee. Strength, Lord, comes from thee. As a matter of fact, if you would, please, look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, chapter 29, and look at verses 11 and 12. 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. Everybody there? I told my crew member this past week, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 29. He turned to 1 Corinthians. He said, there is no 29. I said, I didn't say Corinthians. I said Chronicles. Oh, there is a difference. I said, yeah. Chronicles. Corinthians. Oh, there is a 29 in Chronicles. Exactly. Verses 11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted. Do you know? Let me put it a different way. How does God say it? Whose kingdom are you a part of? It tells you in Colossians. He has translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. You are in the kingdom of his dear son. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted. Be thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the Ancient of Days. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength. What a great God we have. And what I want you to know is that God the Father, God the Son, rely on the Holy Spirit to give you that strength day by day. Because I'm sure, if it's anything like me, as a custodian, I come home and I look at my wife, and that's the last I see her for an hour or two, because I just go. But then I wake up the next morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Oh my goodness, Lord, can I just lay in bed just a little bit longer?" I know. I set my alarm every 5 minutes after 4 o'clock to wake me up by 4:30. Okay, I'm in the car. I pray for your strength. I get to the door. Beep. I am unarmed the building. Beep. I look into the office. No deed. He forgot to vacuum the floor. Oh, no. They forgot to dry mop the room. Oh, no. Look at this spot on the floor. It's dirty. I have to wet mop it. Oh, no. And there goes my routine out the door, and I have to, oh, the stairwell. He didn't do the stairwell. The library's not vacuumed. Oh, my goodness. Lord, I really need your strength this morning because I don't feel like I got it right now. And then I go into my work, and guess what? After I'm done, I look back, and I said, where did that strength come from? I didn't have that to begin with, but I sure had it when I got it done. I feel energized. I can start the whole new day. Now my routine is done by 8:30. And by 8:30, I'm ready to go home. Because everything's done. And then lunchtime comes with those 600 children. And it's like, I will make it through the 600 children. Every half hour, kindergarten. Second half hour, first grade. Third half hour, second grade. Fourth grade. I made it through the day. I go home, I disappear, don't I, Eugene? I lay my head down on the pillow, gone. That's my second breath. Gary, we need to go see the grandchildren. Oh, no. I'm so tired. Lord, I really need your strength. And you know what? He gives that strength. Both riches and honor come from you,
and you rule over all. In your hand, verse 12, are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength. Your strength, my strength, comes from the Lord every day because He indwells us. He, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. He, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of power, strength, might, energy that you and I need. And that's why when we praise Him, as so said in 16, we remember why we praise Him. We remember His good works, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One other thing I want you to remember is this. Not only is He sovereign, not only does He give good and perfect gifts, and I told him I love Daniel because Daniel had an excellent spirit. It says that right in 6:3. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Spirit meaning attitude. Daniel had an excellent attitude. And I said, I wish a lot of Christians had that same attitude that he has. And Daniel had an excellent attitude, and so did David. And when you read that last verse, and the verse I wanted you to see is verse 12. Remember the wondrous works that he has done. Remember the wondrous works which he hath done. Remember, remember, remember. Be reminded. Bring it to your memory again and again and again. One of the things that I told my 28 crew member is that I may be 64, and he says, oh, then you know everything. No, I don't know everything. I'm not even smarter than a 7-year-old. That's my grandchildren. He says, oh, you lost it all. And I said, yep, I lost it all. My grandsons remind me, nuh-uh, that's not the way it is, Pop-Pop. Remember, even I, at the age of 64, have to go back again and remember and remember and remember, be reminded, be reminded, be reminded. Don't forget the good works that God hath done. Did not God, who loved the world so much, send his only begotten Son, his only unique one Son? Did he not do that? Amen? He sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Did Jesus go to the cross? Yes. Did he die on that cross? Yes. Why did he die on that cross? To take away my sin. Amen? And to open the door for me to enter into heaven. Amen? Remember his works. I can go back and remember the Red Sea. I can go back and remember the manna. 1,001 ways to make manna. But 1,001 ways to make manna in the wilderness. I remember these miracles that God performed, like raising Lazarus from the dead. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. Remember. We praise him. We worship him. We adorn him. We give thanksgiving to him. Secondly, we recognize his power, his strength, and his ministry. And thirdly, we remember his marvelous works of sending his Son to die on the cross for our sin, that as we believe on him, we would have eternal life. What a great God we have. Amen? What a powerful God we have, able to raise from the dead. And power in our lives to take anything that would seem impossible, he has the power to make it possible. What's that verse say? All things are possible with God. And to know his glory.
the glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and full of truth. And to remember his victory over sin, over death, and to remember his majesty on high. He is a majestic God. Be thou exalted, O God of eternity. What a great God we have. Amen. And I wanted to share that with you this morning, and I trust that it would be a blessing for you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for who you are and for what you are seeking to accomplish within our lives. I pray that we will always have these 9 different ways that we can bring praise to you. 9 different ways we can call upon you. We can sing unto you. We can talk about who you are and what you're doing. We can share with others about who you are and what you're doing. Just so many different ways that we can share the greatness of who you are, the power that you have, the glory that is of your essence, the victory that is yours on the cross. And we can share the majesty of who you are. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your work in our lives. May it continue in such a fashion as to open that door that we stand in awe of who you are and what you are seeking to accomplish in our lives today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.